Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see you on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me, blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written. And you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me. And he wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Dicko. AJ Dicko. 3 times. And I'm big, too. I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl. The one you heard about. You fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything. And, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, TAZ hosts the show, man.
ATAZP, ATAZP, TAZ. Sorry that I'm late. Things happen, life happens. Let me move on. Sue R. Anderson, you hear me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you well. I am so sorry, Sue. I'm doing
okay.
Good. Good talking
Things
to
happen.
You. And
good talking to you too. Everything's straight now? You good?
Oh, yeah, everything good. Everything good now.
Okay.
We're going to go into it. Praise God.
Okay.
This is an interview with Sue R. Anderson. And later on, around, I guess, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, but 8:30 my time, Focus Atlanta, rapper, artist, extraordinaire, call in too. Sue, I'm so glad that I got at least more than 30 minutes with you, because once I read your book, Digging Deep for Change, I was like, man, it'll take all the whole show to talk about this. Because
all the points
I want to hit. So I'm going to start off right now because I'm not wasting no time. I already wasted enough. It's called Digging Deep for Change, and I'll let you give an overall view of the book, exactly what you wanted to write and wanted your readers to get out of it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Well, first, I just want to start off by saying I'm really excited to be a guest tonight on your wonderful talk show. It's an honor and a privilege, so I thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
And especially to talk about a topic that's so personally I'm so personally passionate about. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity and the airwaves to get that out there. So thank you for the host.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Well, basically, last April, I kind of delved into something that I hadn't done before. I became an author. And my book that you had previously spoken about is called Digging Deep for Change. And basically, you know what? It's my open diary, basically. It's my autobiography. I wrote it with the reader in mind. It's basically a journey of my life from beginning from the age of 8 up until present. And the different things that I had to deal with, and the backdrop of it was my morbid obesity. And that's a subject that's so deeply passionate for me, because I've been there and I've almost died in my obesity. So health is really a primary focus with me, and not just for myself anymore, but for other people, because I believe when God releases you from a struggle, then you have a testimony to give to someone else who's struggling in that respect. So that's why I felt led to write Digging Deep for Change. So basically, it's a very raw, as you've read it, it's a very raw and transparent look at my life and what I've had to deal with, what I've had to struggle with, and not just the extreme overweight issue that I had and the very addictive personality that I had. I became addicted to Xanax. I became addicted to drugs for a time. I also was very heavily addicted to food. And when people think in terms of addiction, a lot of times people don't think in terms of food addiction. They think that, okay, you could just stop eating, you know, you just go on a diet, you know, but it's not really that simple, especially when the issue is psychological, like with most of us. It's deeply emotionally rooted. And
right.
That's what I talked about in the book, and that's how it kind of crescendoed into me spiraling out of control, in essence, and almost dying in my obesity before I turned my life around. So that's the backdrop of it.
I want to read a passage, exactly what you just hit on. When I'll just say it, your doctor is talking to you. I'm going to be honest with you. At the rate you're gaining weight, coupled with your family history of hypertension, stroke, and heart disease, you are a prime candidate for a stroke. He continued, now, if you're okay with someone else raising your beautiful daughters, then proceed down the path that you are going. If not, you need to make a decision to lose weight much sooner than later. The choice is yours, Sue. I have given you the information. It's up to you what you do with it. Do you have any questions for me? And I wanted to say that was the point that you actually just like, whoa, this is serious now? Is that the point that you mm-hmm. just really realized it?
Yeah, that was what I call in the book, I call my light bulb moment.
And I know sometimes, I know Oprah has kind of touched on light bulb moments, and that's basically a point in our lives, like a turning point in our lives, where we realize that we're going down a deep and dark path. And then if we keep on going down that path, it's going to lead to ultimate destruction. So, and God in his infinite grace and mercy, he will turn us around, and he will put us on a path to wellness, in essence, whether it's emotionally, physically, mentally. So my turning point came in about 2005 when I had reached my peak weight of about 342 pounds. I had always been heavy, but I had that was like at my peak then. I was about 32 years old. I just had my third daughter. And I had my daughter at the doctor's office with me, and he asked if he could speak with me, and the excerpt that you read was exactly what he said, almost verbatim. He said, listen, if you're not going to do something about your weight, then you're going to die. You're not going to even reach 40. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, if you want someone else raising your kids, then you go ahead. And a lot of people say, when I tell that story, a lot of people say, wow, you know, that's pretty cruel. You know, how could he come at you like that? But I needed to hear it that way. And a lot of times people need to hear it raw. You know what I mean? You need to hear it raw.
Yeah.
And all my life I heard, oh, you're so cute to be a big girl. You lose a little weight, you'll be okay. My family tiptoed around it. You know, nobody ever said, bam, you're going to die if you don't do something about your weight. If you don't do something about yourself, you're going to die. You're going to stroke out. And that was the point that I had to say, well, you know, at that point it really wasn't about vanity. It wasn't about me looking better physically. I thought about my kids. And I said, God, you know, I want someone else raising my daughters. I have to be there for them because nobody can raise them like I can. So I need to be there for my girls. So that was really the kind of the tipping point. I needed to get myself healthy so I can be there for them. And it was a hard, rough journey. It was.
And thank God that doctor was blunt with you and to the point, because you needed that to just push you or really sling you in the right direction.
Right, exactly. And I thank God for him. You know, I saw him maybe about 3 years ago. I saw him at an expo I was attending, and he didn't even recognize me. I had to remind him who I was, and thank you, because you saved my life. Had it not been for Dr. Thomas, I probably wouldn't even be here speaking with you right now. I'd be dead somewhere. But that was my wake-up call. And sometimes we need other people to say, hey, you know, what are you doing? You're killing yourself. And Digging Deep for Change is just that. It's my open love letter to every man and woman that wants and desires to lose weight, and not only lose physical weight, but lose the emotional weight tied with it. Because, you know, not the book ain't just about losing weight. It's about all the other things that kind of added on and kind of, you know, spiraled around the obesity. So, yeah.
So you started going to a gym called Shapes, and on the questionnaire, the question that stumped you was, how much do you weigh now? What was going through your mind when you was going down that questionnaire for the gym?
You know what? When she asked me, and, you know, it's typical when you go to join a gym that they ask you, you know, they give you, you know, they want your basic stats, your name, and all the information, your height or what have you. And then when she asked me how much you weigh, I really couldn't tell her because I didn't really know, because I hadn't weighed myself, I think, since that period that I had with my doctor that time, and that was probably about a year or so after I had went ahead and had that conversation with my doctor. I honestly didn't know how much I weighed, and I didn't want to weigh myself because I knew that I was really, really, I knew that I was way heavier than I should be, and I was ashamed of myself. So I didn't. When I told, I didn't know, I did not know, and I was petrified because I knew the next question was going to be, okay, we'll step on the scale, let's see how much you weigh. And then I would have to hear her say the numbers. I would have to see her write those numbers down. And that's a truth that I don't, that I wasn't ready to handle at that moment, or so I thought.
Now, you go in the book, because I'm rolling through the book, because I loved every bit that I read. There was emotional parts. There were funny parts. There was highs and lows. And the low that I'm talking about is when your sister, Brenda, passed away. You said when you were on vacation. I'm thinking you were on vacation. And you had to come back off of vacation. And your husband, who you really wanted to break it off with, was there to pick you up, started supporting you. With him coming back into your life, how did you feel about that at that point in time?
Thought that, but I really, you know, I was so completely, Brenda, who was my only sister, was more than just my older, my only sister. She was my best friend. She was a big part of me. So I was so deeply immersed in extreme emotion at that time of her passing, because when I left, she wasn't sick. When I came back, she was dead, or she was on life support, and just, you know, with machines keeping her alive. So I guess I was too sad of a emotional state to even say, oh, you know, I'm happy that he's picked me up. We had, you know, you went through the book, and without telling your reader too much, we had had some ins and outs and everything, my husband at the time. But I don't think it really hit me that, okay, he's finally going to be there for me this time, because I was so immersed in what I was feeling at the time. I wanted to die. When they told me that she was on life support, I wanted to just lay down with her. That's how much I loved her, and that's the kind of grief that I felt at the time.
Right. And like I said, when I read the book, I was like, well, she went over that hurdle, so we're getting ready to get back on. But then the thing started happening with some guy that was on a chat spot. I ain't going to say the real name of the chat spot, but it was chat spot.
Because you know I changed that name a little bit. You know I changed the name.
Yeah, I know you. You had to.
Right.
So
right.
You met that guy, TBTC. I don't know if that's the real name, because I was at chat spot too. So I don't remember that.
That
name.
Actually was his online name, TBTC.
Okay.
Shout out. Listening.
I don't. But you like this. Here it goes. Here's the little spot that I highlighted. By this time, I was familiar with the regular trollers in the 40s room. Men who would flatter you with intention of possibly sexual encounter, but not all the men were so brash and devious. TBC was quite different. So explain that little that
yeah
little tip.
Well, you know what, and that's what makes the book so interesting, because it doesn't just focus on my weight issue. It focuses on every pinnacle part of my life, which a great big chunk of my life and a lot of lessons that I learned were in my relationship. And I touched on, I tried to touch on that as much as possible, because I'm no different than any other woman. You know, we want to be loved and respected, and, you know, we want to be cherished, and we're always looking for that great love, you know, somebody that's going to love us like nobody else. So, you know, I wasn't any different. So, yeah, I tried to kind of touch on my relationships here, some that I'm very proud of, some, you know, maybe not so much. But TCTB actually served as kind of like almost like my lifeline at the time, because, again, without revealing too much of the book, because I want the readers to pick it up, during that time in my life, I really needed an anchor. And for me, he was my anchor at the time. You know, he was what kept me kind of grounded, and what kept me from dealing with some emotions that I wasn't ready to confront. And, you know, kind of, you know, so and in essence, you know, when I was dealing with him, I didn't want to eat as much, you know. So he was kind of like, he was like my anchor at the time, you know, right or wrong, the book. it wasn't a totally positive relationship, I'll say, but it's what I felt that I needed at the time. It's what I felt my heart needed at the time, was to have involvement with him.
I know, Sue, in the back of your mind, you're saying, Taz really just read this straight down the line, didn't he?
I'm really impressed.
Oh, no. That's the main reason why I had you on. And I said, when I was going through it, I was saying to myself, man, we need a whole show on this book, because really a half hour does not do it justice at all.
I'm telling you, because like I said, it's not just about my journey in obesity and then losing the weight, but it's also about relationships and how we can get caught up in stuff that we ain't got no business being caught up in for the wrong reasons, you know, loving the wrong man for the right reasons and all that other stuff. And so it's not just a singular book with a singular subject. It's so many facets of it that I think that would really be an interesting read, especially for a woman who goes through similar things. And I know, you know,
right,
when it all washes out, we go through the same things, you know, we go through the same hurts and pains and everything. And it helps to read about somebody that can actually relate to that. You go, wow, you know, I kind of see myself in Sue, and, you know, wow, you know, I remember when I kind of went through that similar situation. But yeah, it was definitely a roller coaster, especially writing the book. It was a very emotional period, even writing the book. I had to go to a lot of dark places in my head. You know, I had God
right.
had to send me a lot of dark valleys that I thought I had come to grips with, and I thought I had closed certain chapters in my life and that I was okay. And I found myself literally bawling, like halfway through writing the book, I would have to stop and I would have to pray, and I would almost be hysterical crying because all of these memories would come back, all of the hurt and the pain that I had gone through. It was really a cathartic experience writing this book, and I just I want it to be a tool for the next woman or man that's going through and thinks that, you know, man, I'm the only one going through this, nobody understands, can I get out, you know, is there hope for me? And I just, like I said, it's my love letter. It's my love letter to those who have gone through. And I just want them to know that, you know what, the same thing that God brought me through, he can bring you through too. You just got to dig deep for it. You got to dig deep for your resolve and dig deep for your diligence to change your life. You know, it's there. We just have to tap into it.
Now, after the second dagger, when your father passed away, your mm-hmm. brother Wayne, your stepbrother Wayne, He did you a solid by giving you some advice.
Yeah.
But I'll let you explain that. Because I was like, go on ahead, Wayne, because somebody needed to tell this child what was going on.
Well, you know, and that is my brother. You know, that is I did not make up one line about Wayne when in my description, you know, and even till this day. He is fiercely protective over me. I'm his little sister. You know, I only had two siblings. I had Brenda, and I still have Wayne. And he's just a protector. He's always been like a big brother / daddy, you know, kind of tell me what to do, you know, you're going to do this, and I don't think you should do this. And it's all out of love. And the excerpt that you're talking about in the book is when he finally let me know that, hey, you know, you need to really reevaluate some things. You need to understand what you're dealing with now. Now that your father has passed on, there's some things that you need to deal with, and there's some decisions you need to make, and there's some advice that I want to give you about what you need to do. And again, I try not to give too much away, you know, for your readers, but sometimes you got to have somebody there to say, look, dummy, you know what? You're gonna have to, you know what? Look at what you're doing. Don't let love or what you think is love blind you from the truth. And that's basically what he was telling me. He was like, look, you know, hey, I'm just gonna let you know. I know how niggas are. And I hope
right,
I can say niggas.
Right. Yeah, but you gotta come. Hey, you gotta come wrong. You could come wrong here. You could come wrong.
Okay, so I didn't know. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah. Go on, say.
Yeah, but you know, he told me like, you know, he just gave it to me real, and that's what I at the time I didn't want to hear it. At the time, I'm like, you know, what are you talking about? This is the man that I love. But you tripping? You know, why are you saying this? But it's so funny how. When you're in something, you can't see it, but everybody around you sees it. And I was literally so blind. And, you know, as women, we go through this. We're so immersed in loving somebody or thinking that we love them that we can't see the forest for the trees. So everything was already there. I couldn't see it, but everybody else could, you know, everybody that was close to me. So that was – Wayne was just giving me a heads up, and I did not like that heads up. I did not, me and him almost fell out over that. But, you know, when it all came down to it, everything that he said, everything that he foreshadowed was the truth. And, you know, in the book, I jump right to that situation where he was right about everything he said.
Yeah, and you were laughing. You were laughing to yourself so much that you didn't even pay attention to what your husband was talking about. You was like, man, he was right.
Right, exactly. I'm like, well, I'll be doggone. He was right. And he was right quickly, too. It's not like, you know, it took some time. That situation happened, like, you know, like right away. So, but that's not something that, you know, that I hadn't heard from Wayne before or from Brenda or from my mother. You know, these were the things they had been telling me, but I was, again, you know, too blind to see. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the funny parts. I tried to keep the book light because it's such a heavy subject, you know, when you're dealing with abuse that I talked about earlier in the book, you know, my my bout with sexual abuse. And when you're dealing with heavy subjects, you don't want the reader to be like, oh, my God, let me just jump off the nearest cliff somewhere after I read this book. I tried to make the light, you know, some light moments in the book, too, to kind of give the reader kind of like a – you know, because you really want to make it. You're reading the book and you're rooting for Sue. You like, I really want her to get it. She hasn't got, but I really want her to get it before something really bad happens to her. I want her to succeed. And you know, in the little lighthearted moments, you know, the little kind of, I tried to get some chuckles here and there for the reader to say that, you know, yeah, it's a dark, heavy subject, but there's some laughter in there too. There's some little cute stuff in there.
Now, when you gave the papers to Daryl finally, I mean, and we done got all the way to almost the end of the book, and you ain't jumped this dude off yet. Get out of here. Get out of my life. When you finally, let me say, when you finally gave the papers, and then dude got the nerve to say, huh? You serious? You were serious? What?
Yeah.
Where was he living at?
Yeah, you know what? That's so, you know, there is a Daryl in every corner of every neighborhood on the face of the earth. There, you know, there's Daryls everywhere. And Daryl he's a typical male who is manipulative enough to get the right kind of woman that number one has low self-esteem, because if you don't have any esteem, then you're going to allow things like that to happen, the different things that I allowed in the book to happen over and over and over again. And then you can kind of sweet talk your way out of it and kind of, you know, oh, baby, you know, next time it's going to be better. Oh, baby, you know, the all baby, baby, baby. And he's the atypical all baby, baby, baby manipulator that, you know, and then, you know, because manipulators are also egomaniacs. They don't think that, you know, they think you're supposed to be at their beck and call or whatever they're doing. They're supposed to just let that ride forever. So
all day,
The moment in the book is like, you know, when I finally say, hey, you know, I'm getting my life together. I've gotten over the, you know, I've gotten all I've gotten over all of these tragedies in my life, and I'm doing better about my health. I'm losing weight. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident. I'm loving myself now. And one thing about it, when you start loving yourself, I mean really loving yourself, loving who you are when you see her in the mirror or him in the mirror, that makes you invincible. That makes you not be able to take the kind of shit that you used to take, excuse my language,
right,
but you said I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can. Praise God.
But, you know, when you begin to develop a love, a real, I'm not talking about a vain, I think I'm so fine kind of love, but a love like I deserve. I'm God's, you know, I'm God's precious creature. I'm his daughter. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I don't need to be treated less than that. And when you realize it, and in the book, I realize it. And when that light bulb comes on, I want to adjust some things in my life. I'm like, whoa, 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 let's take the broom out. Let's start up here. And that was one of the main things. That was the kind of the weight that was around my neck that I had to cut loose in order for my deliverance to take place. And when I finally got to that pinnacle part of the divorce, I did, and I was scared, and I was petrified. Because in a lot of ways, I was petrified of him. I was afraid. He had never abused me physically. You know, that's nothing that I never had to deal with. But somewhere in my mind, I still felt like he was more superior than I was. So I had almost a fear of telling him that, look, this is what I want to do. This is what is best for me. So it took everything that I had, and I asked God to, you know, give me the strength to be able to confront this man and let him know, look, this is not working for me anymore. I can't allow you to be this weight around my neck. I have to let you go. I have to. And that's what I did. And, you know, and his reaction was like, what, wait, what, you know, because it's the ego. It's like, how dare you? What? You don't be me?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was that point in the book. Like, you know, he couldn't believe, like, I can't believe that you actually get balls enough to say that you're going to finally leave, you know, because I had made the threat so many times before. I had said it so many times before, like countless times, I'm going to leave. And then, you know, all baby, baby. And then, you know, the huggy, huggy, kissy, kissy thing. And then, bam,
right.
You know, all was forgotten. So, you know, when I finally got up that courage to leave, it was a huge turning point in my life. So many things happened that resulted of that decision for me to finally stand up for myself and for my children. You know, I wanted us to be whole. We weren't whole in that situation.
Well, one of the many things that happened, which, you know, me being in the chat spot, hint, hint,
yeah.
As I say that.
Hint, right.
You met Chander.
I did.
When I got to that spot, I really smiled because I was like, man, I remember.
I know him.
You know what I mean?
I know this
dude. Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy.
Right.
So explain that when you met him.
That was very, it was very unexpected. It was crazy how it happened. It's just amazing how God kind of like just moves pieces of your life together. And it was so odd because Candle wasn't looking for me. I wasn't looking for him. I was originally, like I said in the book, I was on ChatSpot for the main reason because ChatSpot, and we won't say the real name, you know, not unless they're going to pay me.
But, yeah, for real. Me too.
But right, and you too, exactly, for real. But, you know, the main reason why people are on social media, and for those that haven't read the book, ChatSpot was like a social media forum like how Facebook is or MySpace is back in the day, a forum where people come in, chat, you have your chat name, you have your profile, and you go in and chat rooms, and then you kind of chat around. Some people go in there looking for booty. Some people go in there looking for conversation. You know, just a plethora of people in a group, you know, just chatting and, you know, just doing what they do in there.
So when I went on, it was a break from reality for me. You know, I had been on ChatSpot for years, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But during the time when I was contemplating divorce and I was going through so many emotional changes with the death of my parents and my sister, and then my anxiety bouts, which I had a lot of serious anxiety going on, I needed a release. You know, since I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, and, you know, I was trying to, you know, lose weight at the time, so I couldn't, like, you know, gorge myself on food to kind of chill myself out. I went on ChatSpot, and so I would go on there first, you know, on and off for an hour or two, and then, you know, as I kind of built a rapport with folks like you in there, I mean, of course, I met Kaz in there, and
a couple other
I virtually met. We actually kind of created a family unit there. You know, y'all became, you know, the guys in there. We had, you know, Kander and Taz, and then, you know, there was How You Love It, and, you know, all of these different, you know, folks in there with their screen names, you know, which we still call each other our screen names. People still call me Eyes. People still call Kander the Kander. But so, you know, so when you're in that kind of community, you get kind of tight. So as we were talking and everything, I had noticed Kander in there, because remember I had been talking to TCTB in the same forum. So, you know, when that thing got down, I started talking to a user, his name was Kander. And quiet dude, you know, you remember, quiet, wouldn't say much, and every once in a while he'll throw something out there, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, I laughed at his jokes. Some of them were corny. They were cute corny, so I laughed at them, you know. And you know, kind of, you know, so it was very innocent at first, mingling and everything. But there was something about him that was different than the other chatters in there, because, like I said in the book, you know, you always deal with the lurkers and the stalkers and the ones that just, you know, their main reason for chatting is to somehow get with you and, you know, and you know, have something go down. But I wasn't on there for that. I just needed, at that time, I needed some companionship. I needed somebody to kind of chat with and laugh with, to take you know, kind of the heaviness off my life. And Kander did that for me. You know, we started talking, and we had found out we had mutual interests. We talked about chicken. We talked about Hooters wings, which is what that was our connector right there, because he loved food and I love food too. So we were talking about Hooters wings. So it kind of progressed from there. You know, I would find myself in private chat with Kander 90% of the time, you know, and I was like, and if I would have said, you know what, we're not really saying nothing in the room, why don't we just kind of talk offline? So he had a radio show at the time, like yours. He had a old school R&B, like a Quiet Storm type forum. I know you didn't know that, but yeah, y'all got that in common. He's a DJ too. So
yeah, I kind of knew about that. I did know about that.
Did you remember that? Because I remember he mentioned it sometime in the room that he was.
Yeah, I remember.
His own radio show. So I would find myself listening to his radio show and, you know, kind of, you know, feeling kind of giddy. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, but what am I feeling here? And the more I would talk to him, I would find out that we really had some serious mutual things going on with us. He had been through a bad divorce. I was about to go through one. You know, he had children. His children were grown. I have children. We were both very grounded, you know, in our spirituality. You know, we were both, you know, saved. We both love God. We talk, a lot of our conversations initially were about our love of God and everything. So I love that about him. And it kind of just flourished. You know, he never came at me with sex, you know, like I expected him to do eventually, because 90% of the time, that's how conversations usually, you know, you kind of, you know, you throw those little sex hints out there to see who will bite. But he never did. He never did. And that impressed me more. And I'm just like, okay, either he is like really, really a really nice guy and really has a good moral base, or he's gay. I don't know. Maybe gay. I had no clue. So
there y'all go.
Right. I was like, well, if he's gay, then, you know, he's a real cool gay guy. But it turns out that wasn't the case at all. He just,
he told me that he just, you know, I like you for you. And, you know, if that's something that happens down the line, we get, you know, something going in that aspect later on, and that's fine. But I just want to know who Sue is. And he was really interested in me, not in anything else. He wanted, he didn't want anything but my time. And that's not something that I was used to. I was used to men wanting something more from me, wanting something more. He just wanted to talk to me. He just wanted to get to know me. He just wanted to help me through what I was going through. And it was genuine. It wasn't any bullshit to it. It was like, you know, I really want to, you know, I care about you. And it kind of flourished from there.
And I'm glad that he met you guys. I ended up meeting both at the meet and greet in the ATL. Also,
yes.
Also, I sent you a gift when y'all got married, because the same thing is the same reason I met my wife on ChatSpot.
I met my wife on ChatSpot. I did not know that.
Not in the room, but on that dating part where people hit you up on the dating part. Yeah, and that's how I met my wife. And I felt that y'all was like, hey, the same thing happened to us. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that will be, you know, people ask me, when are you going to write your second book? So, you know, I'm really that's kind of in the works now. And I really want to focus on that, because I think with the first book, I basically touched on everything that needed to be touched on with regard to my personal journey and my physical and emotional journey in that aspect. But I think I want to, you know, kind of delve into, you know, kind of like an online dating kind of thing, and try to maybe like a, even Kendra and I were talking about maybe doing a split book. Maybe he does the first part of the book and I write the second part of the book, because folks don't think
that would be interesting. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, and it's from his perspective and then from my perspective, because I can tell you my side, but he has a side too, you know. So we were thinking about that. But, yeah, it definitely – people think that online relationships either – like my folks were telling me when I told them, and, you know, I'm from Chicago, born and raised in the Chi, and, you know, Craig is originally from – Cantor is originally from Georgia, but he spent a greater part of his life – had his kids in Delaware. So, you know, my people are like, you met some dude from Delaware? And is he crazy? What, you know, are you that desperate? People are like, girl, are you that desperate? I'm like, I'm not desperate at all, you know? And there's like a stigma, like if you meet somebody online, it means you can't meet nobody offline, like something wrong with you.
Right.
You know, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, you know, you meet crazy, and when people say, how do you know he was crazy? I'm like, hell, how did he know I wasn't crazy? You know?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you can meet crazy people at church. You can meet crazy people at the club. You can meet crazy people at the grocery store. You know, so it doesn't
anywhere.
Mean because you meet somebody in that virtual realm, it doesn't mean that, you know, that something's wrong with them, that they're some kind of serial killer or something. I mean, you know,
I really enjoyed the book. Totally was very impressed. I want you to tell the people exactly where they could get it.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, if you want a couple of snippets of the book, you can go on Facebook. I have an author's page on Facebook, and you can just, on the search bar, you can search Susan, S-U-S-A-N, R. Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, author. And then that is my author's page, and they're a nice chunks of the book, that there's some juicy bits in the book. As a kind of like an appetizer, you know, before you actually purchase the book. And when you decide to go ahead and purchase it, then you can go, there's two ways you can do that, actually three ways. You can go on the book's website, which is ddfchange.com. And that's DDF as in Frank, change.com. That is the book's official website. You can purchase the book there. You can also get an autograph copy of the book on the official website, so that's pretty cool. And then you can go to Amazon. We're available on Amazon. You can just type in the search Digging Deep for Change. We'll pop right up there. The book is also available in Kindle format, for those that don't want to carry around. The book is, and if you have the book, you know that's a nice size book there. That's a nice big book for you, nice hearty book. But for those that prefer an electronical version of the book, then we have it in Kindle version. And then we're also in Barnes & Noble. So you can check the book out on barnesandnoble.com, Dig and Dig for Change.
Well, Susan, Sue, Eyes, I gave all your names.
That's right. I think you got all of them, yeah.
I want you on this, my third novel, this soap opera, I want you to be the overseer, the person that I sent it to. So not the editor, more or less, but somebody to give me, you know, whether it's realistic or not. So I'm going to talk to you about that because it'll be like a year project because I usually write about 600 pages, just as much as you write. So
for
one whole story. So I will be sending you spots. Back and forth. So when I stay back, because I'm getting ready to finish up this comic book that I'm writing, so I got to get done with that. And then once I get done with that, I'm going to write my third one. So, yeah, I kind of want you to, you know, be the overseer, the looker on, the reviewer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It'll be a pleasure to read it, and I'm sure it'll be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much for having me on your program. It was a pleasure. I know we've talked to each other via Facebook and ChatSpot and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother. You know, I thank you for the opportunity and giving Dig and Deep for Change the platform that it deserves, that it needs. This book is not about me at all. I tell Craig all the time, and I tell anybody else that'll listen, that this book is not about me. When I ask God to help me write this book, to give me the strength and the vision and the fortitude to complete it, don't let it be about me. Let it be about the healing that is going to come forth from the book. And that's what I wanted to do. There's a lot of our sisters out here that are dying in record numbers from preventable diseases, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, taking us out of here way before, you know, time for us to leave this earth. And it's from preventable things like obesity, about the things that we eat. So I want to just encourage your listeners out there to really consider, you know, the conversation that we've had, and to, you know, to kind of get a different outlook, a different outlook on their lives. And even if you don't have a weight issue, you know, the things that are holding you down, the things that you need to dig deep for change in, whatever, what area of your life that is, that God can help you through it. You just have to have a willing heart. He will do the rest. I'm a living witness to that. So I just want to encourage each and every one of your listeners out there to strive to be the kind of person God created you to be. And, you know, God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sue. Next time you'll be on, we'll just have you on as a co-host, and you can talk to some artists probably.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I know you do the music thing. I would love to come on your show and talk from that angle because, you know, I love hip-hop. I'm an old-school R&B kid. I'm from Chi-Town. I love house music. I'm a house head to the bone. So
don't
I would
worry.
Love to come on and talk to some of your artists. Yeah, that's what's up.
You and your husband both are house heads. I know.
Yeah, you know what? He's a little late on board. He's a little late. But he's getting into it. You know, I
really?
Know him about how. Yeah,
because
you know, he's from Georgia. As a matter of fact, he's right here. Why don't you say hi to Candace? He's right here. He's being all shy.
Candace, what's up? What's up,
what's
Cat?
Going on,
what's
going
up,
on?
Money?
How you doing?
How you doing, dog?
I'm all right. What's going
well,
on?
That's good, man.
Taking time out.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I love your wife's book. I was very impressed with the talent. all of it. When I read it, I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me pick my spots and choose. I couldn't hit every angle because I would have gave the whole book away because I had a whole lot of more stuff marked off. Like I was reading the Bible.
I was
for real.
Ready to say, I was like, dog, he all up in it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you was getting ready to cover the whole book.
I was getting ready to. But it's good talking to you both. Again, I love you guys like family. You know, y'all like family to me. And I wish nothing but more success for you, Sue, and your writing and your endeavors. And like I said, you're going to be the overseer on this third soap opera that I wrote. So.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, send it to me. Says shoot it to me on my email, and I'll definitely look it over and give you my thoughts and everything. And best of luck and wishes. And please tell your lovely wife I said hello. And,
I definitely will.
You, brother, keep doing that music that people are vibed to. You doing your thing too. So you know, God's blessings on you
right.
as well.
Well, thank you, Susan, and thank you, Candor. For being on the show as well. I'm going to play one of my songs. Hopefully, my boy Focus will call in. If not, we're going to wrap it up. This song is called Dummy for Love that I wrote last year. It's on the new presidential CD.
Got me.
Got
questions.
Love.
Whether it's right. Or it's wrong. Yeah.
Whether she loves me,
speak on it. Is it wrong for me to just kiss you, then lock you in my arms cause I miss you, and make love through the night? That carrying on will keep us straight, yo, keep us tight. But you give side talk, just lipping with the panties in a bunch. Straight tripping, got me loud talking. I'm flipping, find another big booty, I'm dipping. But is that the right way for me to go? Living life on the streets, trying to be a hoe. Pretty ass lips, thighs, here I go. But the pounding in my heart, saying, yo, nigga, no. And I wonder, can I just love ya? Setting the one to hire anyone above ya. This is what real niggas made of. I can't fall for dummy love. So you say you just love me when you act like all above me, and I just wanna hold you tight. Say things to pick, just gotta have a fight. I want your love to get naked. You're telling me you can't take it. I'm so hot you could bake it. Lay down, close your eyes, then fake it. Nah, ain't nobody here being real. I'm popping off things that I feel. Cause my heart's been damaged. I can't cope or even manage. I guess love is being true. Cause it hurts a lot loving you. So you say you just love me when you act like all above me. What?
91-03 on the line. State your name, sir.
Hello?
Hello? State your name,
hey.
Sir.
My name is Focus ATL.
What's up, big dog?
What's happening, bro?
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you. I started late
What's
myself,
that?
Too, Focus. I had a little dilemma at the very beginning, and I started late, too. But everything is all good now. I want you to tell the people exactly what you do, brother.
You want me to tell the people what again, man?
Exactly.
You was talking.
Oh, okay. Exactly what you do. Exactly what you do.
Oh, man. I'm a poet, MC, promoter, project manager, show producer, street team marketer. I do some of everything, man. I've been doing it for a minute, 20 years in entertainment, and project manager in corporate America and in entertainment as well. So whatever needed to get done back in the day to be successful or have some shows, you know, we're the original grinders, you know what I'm saying? Learn from the best to get out here and grind, make it happen yourself, and make nobody else go do it for you, you know what I mean? So
I'm gonna tell you, when I first heard you, because you've been on the show before, when I first heard you, I was like, man, this brother be spitting. So I was like, I got to get him on. For real, by all means necessary, I had to get you on. And I always check you out because we're on social media and we're on Facebook. And every time you post some or, you know, you post some here, some there, I always check you out, man. And I just want to say you be doing your thing, baby, because I was like, I don't know how he does it.
I appreciate it, man. It's like. Everybody that I associate with, especially since they want entertainment that I respect, is, you know, they keep it busy, man. Even before social media came around, you know, we was finding innovative ways of getting people to our shows and you know, just because, you know, we took the road less traveled. It's a lot easier for those that are just willing to, you know, just do what everybody wants them to do, the cookie cutter stuff. But, you know, we want to always give people some substance in everything that we do, whether it's comedy or you know, MCing or show productions and the music and everything that we do. We want to give them something to put some meat on their bones with from a soulful thing. So that's just the breed that I come from, man, and how we came up, you know, to go hard or go home.
Well, I'm so glad because every time I listen to one of your songs, I'm always feeling it. And I got the whole CD, and I'm like, yeah. I'm feeling every song on there, and then, even my wife is going, he's jamming, and how come you just hogging the CD? the song First and Ten, the song First and Ten. I know you ain't talking about football, but I love the song, and give the people exactly what it's about.
So pretty much we're using the analogy of football, man. You know, we need a new first and ten. We need a new start. You know, change our mindsets and just get back to the essence of what real hip-hop and real soul music is all about. You know, music that you can learn from and grow from and live by. And also just in our daily lives, we need a new first and ten. We need better teaching. We need to come together as a collective. You know, it applies to all those things, man, just a brand new start, you know. So no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're going through, good or bad, you know, every day is a new day. You have a chance to change, chance to do better, you know what I'm saying? Like CeeLo said back in the day on that first Goody Mob album, you know, you're just blessed to have a day to do better, basically, to paraphrase. But yeah, First to Ten, me and my boy Dash Hill Smith, you know, I came up with the concept and, I was trying to think of the perfect MC to collab with on that one, and Dash was the first one that came to mind. So I hit him up. He was with it, and came together very nicely. Produced by my boy DJ Nervex as well, man. Y'all check out DJ Nervex on social media. And, you know, the brother's real dope with the production. So it all came together nicely, man.
You are happy to have thrown away perhaps the greatest sports career since the war.
I have
all the ideas.
I haven't lost it. I would say I turned it down. I'm not. See, the greatest sports title means nothing, mister, if you cannot be free. See? guys in Vietnam are throwing away, you may say, their lives. I haven't did that much. I'm still living. They are dying today to free somebody they don't know. So what in the hell is a heavyweight title and a few stinky dollar bills for my people's freedom?
The one thing that comes through now with him is the goodness of the man. He is a good, genuinely nice man.
Distraction, the nemesis. So we put in passion with the penmanship. Cause time's like a 5-minute estimate. Give it to the unlimited. Say a prayer when you finish it. You bear no resemblance. Reflection, eternal shit. Classic equals permanent. Something to never forget. When vultures start circling, rest in peace. To the beat, straight up, disrespecting it. Microphone checking it. I know something's coming to the surface. If you need an example, here's a perfect one. NYC and Ferguson. It's so cold to perform a chokehold. Just because a brother don't want those that's supposed to be protecting and serving him, killing them, searching him. Now that's cold, yeah, that's cold. 110 times worse than flim. God bless the souls of black women and men. Bump those that chose to purchase them. Generations later, they still got a curse on them. Not talking about the color of skin, I'm talking about the hearts of sin. No justice, no peace within. Even Jesus wouldn't want to go to church with them. I can't breathe because my heart hurts for them. The victim of the system we're in. No championship, steel print t-shirts for them. We need a new start, so we march forth and two. We get to a new first and ten. March forth and two. We get to a new first and ten. We need a new first and ten.
Reflecting on her adolescence, slowly trying to regain her ever disappearing essence. Maybe it's Maybelline that could help her recapture, but Revlon couldn't make her for the lost chapter. Her birthday was like the middle of June, and she was born with a smile that could be little to know. Her folks made sure before her visit was bloomed, she was surrounded by academics and spiritual tone. Her father brought fear in the room, gave her limited room for fun in the sun, eclipsed the right to be young. And when she wanted to run, he guilt tripped because she wasn't his son. Mother's concern was little to none. Those fun girl chats mom wasn't open to. She said young ladies only speak when spoken to. Keep your legs closed, no sinning, no foolery. Thinking that it could control her hormones and puberty. But as time flew, her body and mind grew. Looking for ways a cage spirit to shine through. Money could get her free, get with dreams to be in a reality, R&B, diva, or fashionista. Learn how to pull dollars, rock burn and wool collars. College on a full scholar, wilding in the full holler. She was matador on and off campus to those with the nerve to serve the peace standards. She ended up with a cat who turned pro running back. He fumbled with her heart, but she kept running back. Her smile dimmed, her field position's worse than then. Ironically, she's still stretching for the first and ten.
First and 10, Focus ATL. Yo, I was still jamming to that song when it was playing again, because I'm like, yeah, I love that song right there. It jumped, that was the, I think that was the first track on the CD. Am I correct? A Better Tomorrow, but it was the first track on the CD, correct? Hello?
Had you on mute, my brother. My bad.
Okay, my bad. I wanted to make sure. Now, sometimes on the show, it just drop off. I was like, "Oh, please don't tell me that." But that's the first track on the CD, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I had to start it off with that one, man. That is with Muhammad Ali with samples starting it off. Yeah, that one just said something to me, man. That really, you know, I recorded that song probably. Six or seven songs. Like once I recorded that one, that that set the tone for the rest of the album. You know, we had other songs recorded, but I wasn't sure exactly where I was going with it. And, you know, that one just, it just fit. That was the essence that I was looking for, and it came together perfectly.
So when you go in the studio and you put down these tracks, you usually go in with a plan on exactly what you want the CD to say, or is more like you feel the music and then it comes to you?
It happens in a bunch of different ways, but, you know, if I don't have a concept yet, I don't let that stop me, especially if I have some dope beats and dope production already, set up, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I got a hang of dope producers and everything, man. It's hard to choose which ones I'm going to end up rolling with, you know what I'm saying, because there's so many talented individuals in the camp. So
right. So
I just take it song by song, just jump in the studio and make it happen, man. Just take it song by song. Don't let the pressure of the concept and all of that stuff, you know, stop me, because I've let that stop me before because I didn't know what I wanted to do, you know what I'm saying, yet, you know, I used to work that way. And then I said, you know what, take the pressure off. I got a day job, so I'm going to eat. So just
right,
create
right.
something dope. You know what I mean? So that's
right.
what happened.
So when you go in and perform, I guess you set your lineup on different songs that you want to do. You pick the hottest ones. How do you go about that when you're doing the live performance?
Depends on if I'm performing with a band, what the situation is from venue-wise, if it's an ill spot or if it's a classy spot, like a school or a church or whatnot. So,
right.
you know, if I got full creative control and I can do and say as I please or whatnot, I really, you know, I just like those head nodding joints, and I like to see the people's head nodding. So, you know, I really want them to hear the substance and the lyrics too, though, you know what I'm saying? So if we going to rock out and all of that, you know, it just all depends on the circumstances of the venue where I'm performing, you know. And, you know, I just want to make my mama proud either way it go.
Now, the song Intertwine, because, of course, I had to play that one, brother. After I heard it, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling that. I'm really feeling that. How did you come about with that song, dog?
Intertwine. My boys, Evolution Be Known, they produced the cut, and, you know, they gave me about 20 instrumentals, and I swear I was going to use every one of them. I was going to do a 20-song album, because how dope these cats is, man. It was hard to choose, like, which ones I wanted to go with, and when I heard that one, you know, I already knew I wanted to be a collab with a female MC, and, you know, just bring it home on something sensual, nothing raunchy or anything like that, but you get the point, you know what I'm saying, something real sensual,
right.
And it's dope, you know what I'm saying? Lyric Jones, she's a dope MC as well. And, you know, she was one of the first people I had in mind when I hit her up. She was with it. So we came up with it. Intertwine.
Like I'm sensual, with an unconditional picture for the art that her man has. She's attracted to the complex mind, where she finds eyes, no ends, curves, no bends. A best friend with answers to recommend. Two hands that understand the need for her fingertips. She likes to grip from the sweet juice from the fruits. She picks, she licks, she shares with a man who runs five fingers through her hair in such a way to make her say nothing at all. She just savors the flavor in her man's behavior, because she knows she has me the same way I have her. So we have each other over and over infinitely, because she's the L-O-V-E of a woman to me. Intertwine with twists and turns, kisses from lips that burn to touch any and every. Right now, the black cherry, the back of her neck, I watch it get wet from behind. The climax provides the wine as our hands intertwine like French braids. We're like 10 spades, one heart, two diamonds, no clubs, black love, jacuzzi bathtub, sweet smelling suds, and oils for back rubs, all because massages, after body washes, takes her away like Calgon. Tell Ryan where you like it, want it, need it, even if we get weeded, I don't mind getting intertwined like French braids. So what did you say? You're your lady, you're the man that done the thing. Yeah.
Crochet connection, homemade affection, nothing forced, a flame, one torch, light room. Now you see the details of our intricacies, staring intimately, full course, hole in one, he's the only one, in the same mind frame, never blind game, intertwined like my hair through my rat tooth comb, all bases packed to send Babe Ruth home, Jones in for that unspoken shit, you see only in movie scripts, the cutesy bliss, if need be, that Martin and Gina, like TV, jokes for days, a clowning face, you and I just work, it just is, like the special taste in the best dish, like so don't throw and mad live. We got the champion sound. Keep an ambient ground. No ad libs.
Focus ATL, you said our hands intertwine like French braids. What? Yeah, I was feeling that. Hey, and I understand what you talk about. You wanted to do 20 tracks with them cats because, man, that was bad. That was funky as hell. So, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, man, you ain't heard nothing yet, man. Like I say, be friends with Evolution Be Known on Facebook and social media. They got mixed, like, instrumental mixtapes. And, I mean,
right,
they don't even need lyrics on their beats, man. They so jazzy and funky and everything. They just got
well,
real good quality.
Hey, write that in my messenger so I can look them cats up. Because, yeah, that was, like, when I heard it, I said, yeah. I, you know, I do production myself. And I write and do my own thing, too. And I make my own beat. So when I heard that, I was like, man, that is funky. And I was like in the car with it on blast. And my wife's head was going and mine was too. He jamming. I looked over. You know, I took my eye off the road for a quick second. I looked over at it. I said, he's slamming, ain't he? This is slamming. hey
yeah,
brother,
everybody,
give me an go on.
I'll go ahead. No, I was gonna say everybody loved that. Everybody loved that joint, man. And you know, God willing, I can get that one on the radio as the first major single off that album, man. But everybody's feeling it that way.
There's a few more hot ones on there now. Don't get me wrong, because I like the whole CD. But I was feeling that one.
The whole thing is hot now. Don't get me wrong. The whole thing is hot.
Yeah, because I like the Steppers joint. I like Consequences. Skipping School. Song for Mama, I like that song too. The title track, Better Tomorrow. Tell the people exactly where they can cop the joint at and get your CD.
All right. The new website is days away from being up and active, where folks can actually go there and support me and pick up my music, and where I get paid directly off of it instead of Spotify raping everybody still. But you can check my website out at Focus ATL. M is in music, G is in gold. So FocusATLMG.com or at FocusATL all over social media. And everybody, please join the Focus ATL music group on Facebook, and you'll be able to keep up with me and my shows and everything that way until the website is actually up and active too, man. So at FocusATL everywhere, especially on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, I want to thank you again, Focus, for coming through. I'm going to ask you here on the radio show, hey, man, you come to Dallas next year in October when I had this annual house party. You need to come through and put one joint out And believe me, my wife gonna have people buying your CD at the party. So I'm serious than a mug. I do these parties every year, but we just moved to Texas, and next year I'm gonna do it, and it's on the Columbus Day holiday in October. So I will keep you informed. I really would love to have you just do an A selection, not an A and B, but an A selection like they do in church sometimes too. They have an A selection. So just come through, eat, drink, and have a good time, because we're going to have some people up in here. So, again, I will inform you of that, and I appreciate you, bro, for coming through.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all for having me, bro, and I'll definitely be out there in Dallas. I'll be out there much sooner than that, so when I get out there, I'll definitely let you know and holler at you, bro.
Yeah, so, yeah, let me know, man.
I'll be blessed, man. For sure,
well,
for sure. We'll do,
care,
man.
Dude.
All right, you
take
too,
care,
man. You too. Peace.
That's Focus ATL. I'm going to end the show with my cousin, the Silent Stepchild, on his joint, Move. He's the producer on it, and he had Scott Free on his joint.
Go with the flow, I'm a runaway. Lot of ladies in the club, please put your gun away. We can beef on another day. Anyway, move, move. If you wanna have fun, I ain't even left the crib. I'm already half drunk. All this smoke is probably bad for my asthma, but I'ma hit it to the tip like it's the last one. Your first impression might be I'm an asshole. You goddamn right, bitch. Plus I'ma ask you to buy me a drink. So what you think about my fortified leadership? It's 5 o'clock and you know that we ain't leaving yet. Everybody dance around so hard they make the ceiling sweat. Some people like to chill, I guess they keep it real. And if the party's popping, just imagine how the speakers feel. That's a change of pace, so let the haters hate, cause I don't like them anyway. Move, move, I ain't here to act hard. Everybody move around, ain't no need to back off. Move, move, like you to run your ass off. Everybody move around like this gon' be the last song. Move, move, if you chilling in your backyard, even if you out of space, I feel that you gon' blast off. Move, move, when you see me coming past y'all, moving to the bar, cause I heard them holler last call. I got it hot up in here, but the beer is cold. Sneaking in a bottle that I brought from the liquor store. When she ready, grab my shit and go. My head is heavy and I'm ready for some head that's slow. So move, move, don't you do it too fast. I'ma let her win so she knows that I'm coming last. How do I begin when I'm already in the ass? I don't want children, so my words ain't just getting rap. And them is just the facts, so you can just relax. Even if she claims it's clean, I'ma strap a prophylax. So I...